Chapter 41. Man versus Woman. Dear one, cultivate this tender emotion. Mary Baker Eddy, 1900. Judge Clarkson's lecture tour brought him back to New England toward the end of November, and on Saturday, December 1st, he spent 2 hours with Mrs. Eddy at Pleasant View. The judge's masculine logic needed to be balanced with feminine tenderness and inspiration, which was not accomplished in this 2 hour interview, and may have been the reason he was invited to dine with Mrs. Eddy the following Friday. Before Friday arrived, the leader wrote to Irving C. Tomlinson regarding a new lecture he had submitted for her approval, giving him the advice that Clarkson was resisting. Dear one, cultivate this tender emotion. Have a cell less in the brain and a fiber more in the heart, in yourself, and it will do much for your lectures and in healing the sick. When lecturing or addressing the church, let this tenderness appear, and like the dew, it will refresh the parched ear and lonely heart. From the very beginning of her founding work, too many of her students had either idolized Mrs. Eddy or turned away completely from her. The former amounted to worshiping her personality, and the latter became either an adulteration or total rejection of Christian Science. Judge Clarkson had come dangerously close to the former position. But now, when he discussed all the details of the Woodbury case with the Boston officials, he could no longer see that the leader was guided by God and leading properly. His legal reasoning took precedence over his spiritual inclinations. He very much needed, quote, a cell less in the brain and a fiber more in the heart, end quote. But he was blind to his own lack and growing blind to Mrs. Eddy's spirituality. Following his visit on December 7th, Calvin Fry made this entry in his diary. Judge Clarkson dined with Mrs. Eddy today, and after dinner tried to convince her again that she was mistaken and the cause was going to ruin, and the men were essential to take the lead of the cause of Christian Science and to assert their rights without her dictation. Judge Clarkson had not understood Mrs. Eddy when he came close to personality worship, but he understood her even less now. Failing to convince her of his point of view, which amounted to masculine supremacy rather than equality of the sexes, he chemicalized and left the movement shortly thereafter. Mrs. Eddy expressed her reaction to their conversations with her pen in an essay entitled, quote, Man and Woman, end quote, which stated in part, I have, from the beginning of my labors, uniformly associated man and woman in all endeavors to demonstrate Christian Science. I have given the preponderance to the masculine element in my organizations for carrying out the functions of Christian Science. Herein, we show no usurpation of power on the part of woman, either in the principle, the rules, or the organization of Christian Science. The equality of man and woman is established in the premises of this science. God made them male and female from the beginning, and they were in his image and likeness, not images, but image. In the divine mind, there is no sex, no sexuality, and no procreation. The infinite mind includes all in mind. If God has at any period bestowed a superabundance of his image and likeness on man, more than on woman, or vice versa, he is not an impartial God. Whereas the scripture informs us that God is no respecter of persons. If at any period the reflection of the masculinity of God seems more apparent and desirable to the human senses than the reflection of his femininity, it is because the human perception, apprehension, and understanding have not kept pace with the divine love and order that characterize the period which manifests the dual nature of God and the equality of man and woman. The masculine element has had precedence in history, but the history of time is temporal. It is not eternal. The masculine element must not murmur if at some period in human history time should take a turn in behalf of woman and say her time has come, and the reflection of God's feminine nature is permitted consideration, has come to the front, and will be heard and understood. Now then, let us return to God, to the divine principle of the universe, including man. We shall find therein no occasion for departure, no occasion for strife, no suggestion of preeminence or disseverance of the masculine and feminine elements of God's creating, no question of whom shall be the greatest. If the so-called devil would fight with God over the comparative rights of his creation and man and woman, his satanic majesty must succumb to the overrulings of divine love. Christian scientists cannot afford to drop their weight into the scale of evil on this topic or on any other that conflicts with one God, one mind, the Sermon on the Mount, and the recognition that woman is not least, because last at the cross, and first at the sepulcher, the last to linger in tender ministrations of love, and the first to discern the Christ idea. Along the lines of evil is the rule of lamentation over the sins of others, not, however, the lamentation of the prophet, just and reformatory. Failing in one act, evil quickly lifts the curtain on another. But the scene shifts, and behold, a woman, the almond blossom upon her head, busy hands and pen, never leaving the post of duty, but week after week, month after month, and year after year, toiling, watching, praying, and sending forth messages of God's dear love over all the earth. No remuneration, save the blessing it brings to mankind, to compensate such a life. Hence her refusal thereof, and joy to share the income from her books with the needy ones of earth, and for life's best objects. No person understands Christian Science who regards a corporeal man or woman as a Christ. Christ was the Son of God. Jesus was the Son of Mary. This dual nature, divine metaphysics clearly explains, and human nature must not becloud the interpretation of God and man. On December 17th, Calvin Fry wrote to the Librarian of Congress, Washington, D.C., "Please issue a copyright for title and contents of a book entitled Man and Woman by Mary Baker G. Eddy, who is a resident of the United States of America. Said copyright to be issued in her name as author. All rights to be reserved by her." This book was a correction of the attitude expressed by Judge Clarkson and entertained to a degree by many of her Boston officials, but though copyrighted, it was not published at this time. Her lieutenants often thought that Mrs. Eddy was arbitrary and dictatorial, which she was, for no one else had the broad overview of the cause, nor the total dedication to doing God's work on this earth, nor her vision, nor her insight regarding the enemy's tactics. She had brought the motherhood of God to the apprehension of the world, and her every thought and action were devoted to establishing this understanding upon a firm foundation. Because she turned constantly to God, she knew she was right and spoke with authority. And when corrected or warned by wisdom, she changed her course immediately. Probably no one could comprehend her zigzag course, and few could follow her directions without murmuring. There was one devoted student who could and did follow without complaint, who considered every instruction from Mrs. Eddy as an order to be acted upon immediately. And the mother's thought turned to this faithful, obedient student on the day she copyrighted the message so sorely needed by the men in her movement. To Augusta Stetson, Pleasant View, Concord, New Hampshire, December 17th, 1900. Darling Augusta, my precious child, I always explain Christ as the invisible and never corporeal. Jesus was a man corporeal. Christ was, is, and forever will be the Holy Ghost, or in scientific phrase, the spiritual idea of God. I am corporeal to the senses, even as Paul was. But God has anointed me to do His work, to reveal His word, to lead His people. And your faithful adherence to my directions and love for me has caused you to prosper in the field, even as you have. Jesus was the man that was a prophet, and the best and greatest man that ever has appeared on earth. But Jesus was not Christ, for Christ is the spiritual individual that the eye cannot see. Jesus was called Christ only in the sense that you say a godlike man. I am only a godlike woman, God anointed, and I have done a work that none others could do. As Paul was not understood, and Jesus was not understood at the time they taught and demonstrated, so I am not. As following them and obeying them. Blessed all who did thus. So obeying me and following faithfully blesses all who do this. Your loving mother and teacher and leader, M. B. Eddy.